I'll type something here and you just, well, let's see. Sururantu naratu. Ah, cancel that. Let's do this. Oh, yeah, it is. Sururadunanatu. Okay. Maybe we can find that old grammar text. Give me a minute. Let's see. Did we ever input it? I don't know. Is it too... I'm not sure I'm supposed to be doing this. Let's cancel that. No, here we go. Okay. So if we wanted to see if we had input this very basic... there's a grammar book. So you guys are finished with pronunciation. We should go on to basic grammar. So we'll go to the database. Would we be interested in a Kangyur grammar book, a Tengyur grammar book, or a Sumbum grammar book? Yeah, I mean, we don't want one that came from Lord Buddha. Or the Tengyur has great grammar books, but they're all about Sanskrit. And no one's really investigated those. And they're, somebody could spend a lifetime on those. They're really incredible. An old Mongolian geshe from Inner Mongolia started to teach me those long ago. But Sumbum. Dra is traditional Sanskrit grammar, which is shabda, the word, right, in Sanskrit. And here's a couple of texts. Let's see what this one is. But while it's thinking about it, we'll just do something called Laden. Say Laden.
Laden.
Laden. La means, la is a multi-purpose preposition. Okay, like to, on, at, for, in, towards, about. You say them all with the same word. Okay, and this ain't the one. I'll find it for you. There's a nice little grammar book. Can you look for that? Yeah, yeah.
I have it back.
Yeah, it's the tree, the wishing tree or something like that. I had to memorize it when I was a kid. Okay. Anyway, it's a Sururadun Nalatu, Ladun Yinte. These are the, so I just typed it here, okay, Ladun. Dun means meaning. La means anything that means like the same thing as la. And you see several different versions of it. The standard one is right here, la, L-A. And it's going to have many, many meanings, okay? It's the preposition. It can mean on, at, in, towards, for, about, at that time. It can mean millions of things, okay? It's just one preposition. And it's not a preposition, it's a postposition. Like in English, you say it before, I went to the store. In Tibetan, you say, store to, I went. Okay, so to comes after the word store. The preposition, the preposition, is actually a postposition. So you say, store to, I went. You don't say, I went to the store. You put to after the store. Okay, that's just the way it is in Tibetan. Earl to, I gave the pen. Okay, all right, like that. Yeah, like that. And I think we'll just do it from experience. Every time I come to a Ladun in a sentence, we'll talk about it, okay? And here are the different versions of it you might see. Sometimes La is spelled as S-U, okay? You can use La after any word in the Tibetan language, any noun in the Tibetan language. You can use la. Okay? But if that word ends in an S, you can also use su. Okay? So, for example, I'll write something here. The word for time is du. Yeah, umlaut it and lengthen it, right? Du. What's called a chakra? How do you say it in Tibetan? Listen. Dung kor. It's an illegal prenasal, but you don't care. Okay. Wheel of time. Dung kor. Okay. How would you say at the time? You could either say du la, or you could say du su. And they mean the same thing. Okay. The second is a little more literary Tibetan. It's more formal Tibetan. Like in speaking, you never say tu su. In colloquial, you rarely say tu su. You'd say du la at the time. Okay? So at comes after the word time. You don't say at the time, you say the time at. Okay? Got it? Now how about ru? Let me think about it. I'll tell you my... Did I tell you this joke? No. I was in Dharamsala. I really wanted to take the Bodhicharyavatara class. And you had to know Tibetan to take it. And I had been just got there like 3 days before. And I didn't know anything. But I really liked the Lama. There was this young Rinpoche, and he was going to be the translator. And I used to hang out with him. And so they said, well, you got to take this... you got to appear before the board. And they'll examine you to see if your Tibetan's good enough, you know. And so he said, just try it, you know, go. Maybe you'll get lucky, you know. And so I went in, and he's on the board, you know. And so he says, what's the Tibetan word for father? You know, and I said, pa. And he said, right, you pass. You can take the class, you know. And... So that's pa. What's that? Okay. Okay. So pa means father, okay? Papa or pa in almost any language. And if you want to say to my father, you can say pa la. Okay? To my father. But you can also, it's legal. Oh. There's no suffix letter there to really match. So you can say pa ru, and it means the same thing, to my father. And that's very literary language, very formal language, pa ru. You never see this except in poetry where the guy needs an extra beat. Okay? Very rare. Okay? Usually you just stick the R right on there. Par. Par means to my father. So that's going to be a problem when you're translating. You're going to see par. You're going to look it up in dictionary. It's going to say to go to the other side of the mountain, like paro to chimba or something. You know, parchin, perfection. And the R on the end of it is sometimes a prefix that got glued onto the word. Okay? Which is allowed. If the word ends in an what we call an open vowel, if the word ends with an A, E, U, A, O sound, then you can just stick that ladun right on there. So instead of saying pa la, you can say par, which means pa la, to my father. Okay? So that's also legal. Okay? So here's three ways to say to my father. Pa la, say pa la,
pa.
Or paru. Or just par.
Par.
Okay? And they'll cause you big trouble when you're translating. You'll be sweating, looking through the dictionary for par, and it's not there. They're not going to put in the dictionary every single word with the word to stuck onto it. Okay? It's too much trouble.
Can you just is that also hard for, like, the la? Can you just stick the L?
No, you can't.
It's just the R.
Only the R. And only on an open vowel, if the word doesn't have a suffix letter. Only if it ends in A, E, U, A, or Oh, get used to it. Say, A-U-I-E, sorry. A-E, U-E, oh, walla walla, bing bang. Okay, no, no. Wasn't there some song like that? Anyway, it's good to know that little tune because that's the dictionary order. If you can't remember what's the order in the dictionary, first you look up ki, ka, ki, ku, ke, ko, I, e, u, a, o. That's the dictionary order. If you can't remember the order of the vowels, it's a, e, u, a, o. Okay? Walla, walla, be, you know. Okay, so du la, du su, pa la, pa ru, par. If the word ends in a D, I'll stick this one over here. Like, I don't know. Let me think about it. I'm trying to think of a common word that ends in D. Well, this is very common, but you know, y, say y.
Yeah.
Y means what?
Exists.
In English, we have two different verbs, exists and is. And is can mean exists, and is can mean is this other thing. He is good, or he is. It's two different meanings. And in Tibetan, when you want to say he exists, you say y. When you want to say he is, you say yin. Okay, there's two different verbs. We'll learn that. So yidu means in the existence or something like that. Okay, so say
yidu.
It's the same as what? Yeah, same thing. Okay, so you could either say yila or yidu. So you use su after a word that ends in s. You use do after a word that ends in do, in da. Okay? Got it? To say at that time or in the existence. Okay? Now, na is sometimes interchangeable with la. Na equals la on any word. It doesn't have to end in n. Okay. For example, you could say tuna. You could say pana. You could say yuna. Get the idea? And then, do. Now I'm going to ask you a question about do. It's a trick question. Ready? When do you use su after a word that ends in s or sa? Okay. When do you use ru after a word that ends in r or open vowel? Open vowel. When do you use do after a word that ends in D? So when would you use do? But there is no word in Tibetan that ends with a T. You see? T never is used. There's only five suffix letters. Ten. Kanga, dana, bama, arala, sa. You're not allowed to use T. Ta. Never appears as a suffix letter. So when are you going to use do? Like Shinto. Say Shinto. It means really. Okay, Shinto. Shinto Dukchareda. He's really bad. Shinto. Okay. So why is it Shinto? This is this cool thing. Which I didn't teach you yet. We'll put it down here. There's two letters called secondary suffix letters. Secondary suffix letters. I'll show you the first one. Say that word. Leg. Have you ever heard that in some sutra or anything? Sadhu, sadhu, Shariputra. Etad, evam? Evam etad, kulaputra. Evam etad, gambhirayam prasnya paramitayam. Yeah, even in the Sanskrit, it's sadhu, sadhu. Cool, cool. Lekso, lekso. So lek means right on. Great. Okay? Lekso, lekso. And you notice the sa is not pronounced. Okay? It's just a silent, secondary suffix letter that they stick on sometimes to distinguish it from another word that's spelled without it. Okay? I should give you a better example. Oh, let me change that example, okay? Okay, here's a good example. Say ra,
ra.
Giku,
ri,
ka,
ka.
Sa,
sa.
Rik.
Ra,
ra, giku,
ri,
ka,
ka.
Rik.
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 Rik. They sound the same, homonyms, but one is spelled differently. So you'll be debating in the monastery and somebody will try to trick you, right? Riki mata. Which Rick? You see, you gotta ask. You see what I mean? Then you go like this, you know, how do you spell that? Because he's tricking you, right? Because Rick has two separate meanings depending on how you spell it. So sometimes we add this second suffix letter that doesn't do anything, just to distinguish it from the other word. Okay? Got it?
Yep.
Now in ancient times, there was another second suffix letter, and it dropped out of the language. It's gone now, okay? And it was a D. For example, I'm guessing, okay? I believe this is one. Do you know what chin means? Gone, right? Gone. Past tense. I believe this is a good example. It might be a bad example. But anyway, it used to be spelled like that. There used to be a da on the end of it. And that da used to represent past tense. And in all Indo-European languages, there's some kind of a d also at the end indicating past tense. Yeah. That's a good example. That's a great example. Let's use that one. Thank you. This is the word to teach. And the past tense used to be bestand. And then that D dropped off. Okay. How do we know it used to be there? I mean, we have old manuscripts that have it in it. But even nowadays, when you say to teach, you say bestand tu. Okay? Which means there used to be a D sound at the end of it. It used to end in a T or a D sound. You get it? That's why that tu is there. So you'll see it sometimes. Like shintu. Like that. Yeah.
So they replaced it with the tu so that it's not so confusing?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, tu, yeah, okay? It's kind of weird, but you asked for it. Anyway, you should memorize, if you want, for fun, in the debate ground, ask somebody, give me the seven forms of the Laden. Okay, give me the seven forms of the universal preposition. And we're going to see it used in, at, on, above, for, while. Okay? And then you're just going to say what? Suru radu nala tu. Say suru
radu
nala
tu.
basically mean all the same things. One more time. Suru,
Suru.
Radu,
Radu.
Nala,
Nala.
Tu.
Tu.
Okay, seven forms of the Ladun. Ladun is the family name. Ladun means all the things that mean La. Dun means means. Okay, all right? Okay. And as we go through tonight, we'll try to pick out Ladun's, maybe for the next couple nights. Then I thought tomorrow, too, I'm going to start... Is somebody in the mood to convert the next couple paragraphs into Tibetan script tomorrow? Before Monday?
I have a tool you can use.
Yeah. And then we'll show them as a separate file. And when we read out loud together, we'll skip over to the Tibetan script sometimes. And when you get good at that, to frustrate you further, I'll take you to the woodblock. Okay, where the dots are all missing and the wood block is chipped off and Nga looks like Da and Ba looks like Ba. Okay? I'm not going to take you straight to the wood block. We have it on the screen. But better to start you on the computer Tibetan. And then, which Ken Rinpoche and I invented, okay? We did the first one with Steve Bagulis. And we took the Kangyur and we took Ka and we put it on overhead projector and we projected it onto the wall and then we put a huge piece of graph paper and then we put dots in each of the boxes that had a letter in it and then we took the graph paper down and then this lady named Gina Torricelli did the binary for every single box. So every single dot for Ka. And then we had the special printer, and then it would go, zhita, 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 and it would, like, hit all the dots for Ka, you know? And that was the first, yeah. And a laser printer was $100,000 at the time, and there were only five of them in the world. And Bell Labs said we couldn't use theirs, and it was really funny. But now everybody has it. Okay. Okay, we'll debate a little bit. Uma la yewa mebe echa. There's no possible divisions to middle way. Tamadu, be offended. Tamadu, you can always say tamadu, but I warn you. I think Anatole learned. You got to know what you're going to say next. You know, you can't just automatically say, kids tend to say tamadu, you know, and then... And then the guy says, why? And they say, why? Because the first answer is always Tamandu, right? So anyway, umala yewa mebe chir. You can't divide my middle way. Good. Tak. Not tak. Tak. First column. Tak. Yeah. Umala yewa yata. You telling me there's divisions to it, middle way? Duh. Say duh. Shit. Give it to me. Anybody? English? We had it. Be careful. Huh? Yeah, the words that express the middle way and the middle way that's expressed by the words. Okay? So you can say tsik and dun. Okay, say tsik dung. Dun. Yebecher. Tsik and dun. Tsik and dun. Mayan ba tao, when you get beat, you just go on. No, it's not. Okay? Because there's no divisions to the tzik form of middle way. Okay, to the words. Tamadu. Oh, de la yao yata. You're telling me you can divide the expression of the middle way. Yes, yeah. Oh, good. Don't entend you. He says there do exist middle way expressed as words in the form of those entendures. Mayin ba ta. Don't intend you, Shaki. Maybe nobody can tell you what "don't intend" mean. Anybody? Go and intend you. Yeah, sutras and shastras. Sutras and classical commentaries. Okay, are the two forms of expressing the middle way. Yimbata. Right? Say something. Rinpoche, say something. Duh. Okay. So, umachidun chachin. the overview of the middle way, which we're translating. Uma, mayim bata. So I guess it's not middle way. Don't attend you, mayim bitch. Because it's not a sutra or a classical commentary. Then you just look away like disgusting. No, get back to me when you're ready to say something. You don't look at the guy in the face like you're not good enough for me to look at you. You just kind of like, anybody got anything meaningful to say?
It's based on a classical commentary.
Huh?
It's based on a classical commentary.
You can get away with that, I guess. Or you could try to argue that it is a classical commentary. I don't know, either way. But anyway, it's a good debate. You could have a good debate around that. Is it technically a denture? If you translated it, would it make it into the tengyur? No. But anyway, okay. So, do dan tenju. Mayim bata doye tenju shaki me beche. Nobody can show me an example of a sutra which is middle way. Do yuata. No, I always come back with, are you telling me there is one? And you say, duh. I always reconfirm like an old fax machine. Show. Yeah, good. Good. Yeah. Heart Sutra. He said Heart Sutra. Good, good. But he said Genden Dusum, right? The longer, medium, and shorter perfection wisdom. Okay. Tenji Shaki Mebe. I know you know. Nobody could show me a classical commentary on the middle way. There's no classical commentaries on the middle way. Nobody ever wrote a classical commentary on emptiness on the middle way. We have it in the debate ground. Show. Yeah, we're texting with him. Okay. Mayim bata dungi uma mebe etu. There's no divisions to the meaning, Majjhimika. You're supposed to, as a teacher, you're supposed to go over what you went over last time. No, you're supposed to just bridge from the end of the last class. That's a Tibetan custom, at least. Dungi uma lashaki yo yebe etu. Yata. So there is a division of the meaning. Majjhimika as the meaning. Not as the words which express middle way. Divisions or not? Are there different types of it or not?
Yeah.
Who's right? Are there or aren't there? Technically they're not. Because it's a deju riki gone. Nominally there's three. But really there's not three. So you're both right. But anyway, let's say there were three. So, what are they?
Okay, so there's the
three, it's just three words in Tibetan. Do you know?
Lam.
Yeah.
Shi.
Lam. Shi, Lam. Debu. Very famous. Say Shi.
Lam.
Debusum. Those three. Shi, Sho. What's a Shi? Foundation middle way is what? What's the real middle way that underlies all things? Yeah, the emptiness of all things. Sometimes that's called kunshi in some schools, which is confusing. Because it means the basis which underlies all things is emptiness. I mean, Kongtrul Rinpoche uses that language sometimes. Okay, lam. Path. What's path middle way? Yeah, the direct perception of emptiness, Tonglam. And he was more precise, right? He said the uninterrupted, anyway, the direct part. Debu Sho. Then we're done, we're caught up. The result middle way.
Like Nyangde.
Yeah, Nyangde. The nirvana. Nirvana that you get from seeing emptiness. Okay. So we got like six, we got five middle ways already. We got sutras about middle way, commentaries on middle way, emptiness as the middle way, the perception of emptiness as the middle way, and the nirvana you get from seeing emptiness as the middle way. Which one is you entering into in entering the middle way? Which one of these five? Yeah, the second one. Nice. Yeah, why? Yeah, we're going to enter into that root text on wisdom. Is it the real middle way? Which one of these five is the real middle way? He didn't tell us. He said this is a fake division, and he said this is a fake division. But he didn't tell us which one is real middle way. Which one do you think is the real middle way? I think it's direct perception, probably. Okay, we'll get there. Okay. Let's read this together. Ready? One. Oh, by the way, those of you who weren't here last week or whatever, I'm giving you clues, okay? This is the Brazilian lady. How are you? Fly it. Okay? And then this is prenasal. And you always put a little N in front of it. Nju. Okay? And this is lengthen it because the saw's dropping off. Okay? What else did... Oh, yeah. This is it's getting cut off because a da dropped off. This means do the high tone. Because if you say ma, it means mom. If you say ma, it means I got a pussy wound on my arm, okay? You don't want to mix them up. Yeah, really. I'm not kidding. And then this is low tone. Okay, ready? Here we go. Ju, tsu, la, u, ma, ju, be, za, she, la, ju, be, su, ni, ye, te, sab, ba, dang, gya, che, wa, ni, ki, go, ne, ju, be, cheer. Okay, good. Yeah. You got to do the cheer. This whole book is debate style. Now, it's kind of forced at the beginning. Oh, there are six works by Nagarjuna because there's a sixth collection, you know. And it's kind of dumb. But later it's going to get hot. It's going to be like listening to two guys. It's going to be like a tennis match. You're going to be like this, you know. Okay? how many laudans we got in here? There's one. Okay. It's very common, right? Here's another. Okay. That's about all the ones here. Okay. So, Master Chandrakirti's work investigates or enters into Aryanagarjuna's work, both from the point of view of the profound side of the teachings and the far-reaching side of the teachings, which are code words for what? The emptiness teachings or wisdom teachings and the bodhisattva teachings. Okay? By the way, just to keep track of our laudans, which is going to be a theme for the next few classes, okay? This law Juxu la is as for. Okay? This la in Juxu la is the English as for. Tsa she la jukpa is the into here. Okay? So you already see la, the universal prefix. It's going to, you kind of, if you're going to be a translator of Tibetan, you got to like take a something before you sit down. You know, because you just, your mind just has to float out and pick out of 400 prepositions in English which one it's going to be. You know what I mean? Okay? It doesn't help you much in knowing what it means. Sanskrit's a lot more precise in that way. Okay? But that's another story. It has conjugations and, what do you call those things? Declensions. Yeah. Declensions. Okay, here we go. Oh, let's read it together first. Hang on. See, if someone like tunes in on the web and they don't know that I have all these signals, they just think you're pronouncing it right. Okay. Sapa is a saddle. Sapa is profound emptiness. So guess how we're starting. Okay, yeah. One, two, three. Sa be go ne ju tsu la ka chi ta she kun zob dang dun dam pe rang shin ge par ma ten ching ju be de ni ge par ten pe go ne ju go ser wa. Okay, good. Ser means gold, and then or hail, like Sarah. But serwa means to make a stupid claim. So you want to make that. You don't want to say he's speaking golden words, okay? He's making a stupid claim. Okay. How do we say that? Okay, so I'll just read it. Somebody comes along and says, look, as far as Master Chandrakirti's work, entering into what, there's always got to be this justification for somebody to write a commentary. It's considered bad form to write a commentary on an arya. Like, what do you got to say that's better than Arya Nagarjuna, you know? And usually there's this thing, Arya Nagarjuna uses it himself. He says, you can paint a house with whitewash, but if it's a cloudless night and the full moon comes out, it gets whiter. You know, he uses that. But the idea is that, look, it's already perfectly white, but maybe you could just clarify it for your times, for people in your times. What do you got to add to an Arya? So he says, well, somebody says, well, actually, Master Chandrakirti had to comment on Arya Nagarjuna because Arya Nagarjuna didn't clearly distinguish between ultimate reality and deceptive reality. Okay, and so you get this entering into Arya Nagarjuna's work so that he could enter means I'll enter into it for you and clarify for you the difference between deceptive reality and ultimate reality. Okay, how much of this room is deceptive reality? How much is ultimate reality? Well, all of it, you might know.
Well, depends on who's looking.
Depends on who's looking. Now, let's say, well, who do you mean?
How much of it is deceiving? Yeah, it depends on the mind perceiving it.
Oh, so everything I see in this room is not deceptive reality.
I don't know how you're seeing it.
Let's say I'm just a normal person. Let's say I'm a pratagyana.
Then that would be 100% deceptive.
100% deceptive reality. So there's no ultimate reality in this room. I didn't ask who's perceiving. I just said, how much of this room is ultimate reality and how much of this room is deceptive reality? Huh? Yeah, they're both here. How much of this room is ultimate reality? Yeah, it covers the entire room. How many of the objects in this room are ultimate reality? What's that? Are ultimate reality. None of the visual objects. Nothing you can see, hear, smell, taste, or feel in this room is ultimate reality. Okay? And almost nothing you can think about in this room, okay, is ultimate reality. So that's like, it gets down to very few things, our ultimate reality. So can we say that the deceptive reality things in this room outnumber the ultimate reality things, like, infinitely? I just said that. Yeah, every object, every deceptive reality object in this room has its own emptiness, which is ultimate reality. Okay, yeah. There's an ultimate reality hanging off on the tail, really, really, of every deceptive reality object here. No, Christy Law is going to get into 18 kinds of emptiness. When? Tonight? No, like Master Kamashila says 18 types.
Yeah.
Is it tonight?
We're not really discussing it, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, and then there's this big, people get headaches. I've seen yoga books. I saw a yoga book from Bihar Yoga School, and they attempted to explain these 18, and I'm like, wow, you know? And it's totally, totally, like, weird. And they're really good. Their school is really good. They're on everything else, they're really good. They're really, really good. And I have to say that. They're the best in the world, maybe. But how do you come up with 18 different kinds of emptiness? And then in the end he says, well, there's 18 kinds of objects that they're hanging off of. That's all. Okay, that's all. Okay. So anyway, did Arya Nagarjuna didn't get this point? He didn't explain this point? What's going on? Okay. Here we go. Okay, here we go again. Ready? One, two, three. Slow. Mi, te, de, tong, ni, rik, pe, nam, chang, ta, ye, pe, go, ne, ge, ba, dun, ba, jup ba le za she shin tu ge be che. Okay, good, yeah. Cool. We got lots of ladens and stuff in here. Let me see. Now here's Rick, right? There's that secondary suffix. If the sa wasn't there, it would mean brain or mind. Because the Rick is there, it means type or family. Okay? And we don't have any ladens in here. Oh, I just wanted to show you Shintu. Okay? Shintu. It means this used to be spelled with a D after it. Okay? And Shintu means what? Extremely. Because Shintu nyamba yoreda. He's just crazy. Okay? It's a Shintu. And you get like this thing and you twist in your heart. Shintu. And you see a Tibetan when he's upset, you'll hear Shintu like every third sentence. You know, Shintu. Okay. Okay? That pretty much speaks for itself. It's dumb to say that somehow the root text on wisdom doesn't distinguish between deceptive reality and or that you need Master Chandragirti to explain how Master Aryanagarjuna talked about deceptive reality and ultimate reality, because Aryanagarjuna uses infinite arguments to present emptiness. Does that necessarily prove that he presented deceptive reality and ultimate reality? I don't know. That's his argument.
Is that really the right word to use there?
Which one?
Presents emptiness with infinite variety?
Yeah. Tayepa means infinite. And this is going to be an important subject in about within an hour or two, whether tonight or next class, okay? And I'll just give you a hint. There's going to be an argument that people of the Hinayana don't need a lot of fuss about emptiness. You give them a basic presentation and you leave them alone. But people of Mahayana, Bodhisattvas, they just thirst for more proofs about emptiness. They're like, give me another one. Give me another argument for emptiness. They don't fall asleep in the fourth book Jimba class about, oh, here's another reason why the car doesn't start with a key. You know, you're like, well, I had enough already, man. You know, and but the Bodhisattvas are like, man, tell me 10 more reasons why things are empty, you know. And it's the same thing, right? They all boil down to the same trick somewhere. You know, oh, hey, things are not their parts, you know. I mean, until you think of them that way, you know, or from their own side, or ultimately, you know. Things aren't one or many. Things don't come from something else or themselves. You know, and you can just keep, things aren't changing or unchanging. Things aren't, you know, you can keep going like that, mental or physical. And Bodhisattvas are like, give me Rigpen Namdang Tayepa. It's a famous mantra in the debate ground. Who wants Rigpen Namdang Tayepa? Who wants infinite arguments in proofs of emptiness? Who thirsts for, give me another one, you know? It's the Bodhisattvas. That's what makes you a bodhisattva in this kind of a school. It's very subtle. Is it from their compassion? No. Is it from a degree of emptiness, which the next school down says? No. It's that they are thirsting. Give me another reason why the car doesn't start the key. Okay, so think about that. It's going to come up. It's going to come up. Okay, here we go. This is really cool. I'm glad we got to this tonight. And it's a little long. I'm going to save it. We'll give us like 15 minutes to pronounce it. I'll have a cup of tea. Okay, here we go. Ready? One. Don't forget to roll your R, which I can't do. Ireland, you guys do it better? Ra? Spanish. Is that? Ra? You grow up with that. I can't do it that good. I can fake it, right? But I can't do it very well. Say again. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I can do that. It's better. The trick for you other people, don't use your front teeth on your bottom lip. That's how, you know, Westerners make an R. You know. No, really. If you can't roll an R, it's because you're going like, right, right. You see? Right. And when you ra, it's your tongue is, it's back here, retroflexed. Yeah. Ra. Ra. Yeah. Quit showing off. Okay. I tried for years, I couldn't do it. Finally, I learned how to fake it. I just got, you know. Okay, here we go. Say, Rang, Luk, La, Sab, Me, Go, Ne, Ju, Su, Ye, De, Ju, Ta, Ok, Ma, Nam, Dang, Tu, Mong, Min, Be, Ke, Shi, Ge, Den, Be, Go, Ne, Ju, Ba, Dang, Za, She, Gong, Ba, Tar, Tu, Sim, Sam, Du, Del, Du, Mi, Rung, Wa, La, Nghe, Ba, Dem, Bo, Nye, Ba, Nyi, Ki, Go, Ne, Ju, Be, Cheer. Okay, good. You got the cheer now. Somebody is Sunday. But should check that probably great Tibetan writers, we have assonance and consonance in Western writing poetry, like seashells on the seashore is consonants, where you keep using an S sound to make an effect, you know. But if you notice how many high tones he's got here, den high tone, bo high tone, nye high tone, ba high tone, nye high tone, ki high tone. He's strung together like 8 high tones. It gives a feeling in Tibetan. He's about to reach his chi, you see? And there's probably some pattern that poets use, like Jetsun Kapa, or great writers, and you could probably distill it somehow. But anyway, if you don't, I can do sometime. how many la duns we've gotten here? La dun is very common, right? So here's a la, which here it's according to our own system. Are there any more? Here's one. Semtam tu, which means to interpret something as middle way, as mind only. So it's the as in as mind only. Here's another one. Jal du means not correct to interpret it that way. It's the two and two interpret it that way. So you get a feeling for how weird it's going to be to try to translate these. Here's another one. You have to be sure about that, la. It's the about. So how many we got here? Here's the first one means according to. The second one means as. The third one means to. And the fourth one means about. You see what I mean? And they're all the same word.
Is it that and to? That to that?
It could have been. It is, actually. You're right. Wow. That's cool. This is the same one in Los Antartin. Yeah. Which is really taru. Say taru. Gone to the end. It's very sensitive that you found it. Well spotted. By the way, I got a news last night that that teacher passed away. Finally. He was very ill. And I'd like to dedicate these classes to him. He's the one that taught us to pronounce it together this way. And I'm very sorry he's gone because he had great insight into the New Testament and the Greek, yeah, and how to teach languages. So you should mourn him. His name is, Reverend Father John Dobson. Okay? John Dobson. And he was a priest and a great New Testament scholar, Greek scholar. Okay. Okay. So, taru. Okay. There's another one which means two. Okay. So, how do you want to say this? Okay, I'll ask you. there's a thing called Rangluk and Shenluk. Say Rangluk. Shenluk. Rangluk. Shenluk. It's very, very important in the study of Madhyamika. Rangluk means our side. Shenluk means the other guys. Okay? But how do you want to say that in a literary way? Okay, so according to... Well, I like our position. That's great. Okay, that wasn't such a debate. And by the way, I've supplied this whole thing here, entering the middle way, root text on wisdom. I've supplied those words. Hypertexture is going to go crazy. In the Tibetan, you just say, according to our position, enters. You know, and they never give you the rest of the words. And if you don't write them in English, it sounds like gibberish. And sometimes English translations sound like gibberish. Okay, that's why. You have to supply more of the old information in English than you have to do in Tibetan. Okay. So anyway, and this is true. I'm going to split this. So this is crucial. Okay, so it's late. We're getting towards the end of this class. No, we go to 7:30. Okay. Anyway, it's pretty far along, and it's kind of warm. But this is crucial. Okay, how does Master Chandrakirti somehow kind of improve on Aryanagarjuna's presentation on emptiness? How could you do that? Okay, like what does he do? What does he say about Nagarjuna's work, Aryanagarjuna's work, that somehow makes it more clear to us? Why does he enter again? Why does he get into it? Well, he gets into it in two ways. He gets into the bodhisattva part of it, and he gets into the emptiness part of it, right? But what does he say about the emptiness part of it that somehow clarifies emptiness for us in a way that Aryanagarjuna couldn't do or something? And then you have to think of these two. You have to think of these two. And he's not saying it exactly the same way that Jetson Kapa did. This is 100 years later, almost 200 years later maybe. And it has developed quickly. The thing has evolved quickly. You know, and people have already said, look, it's clear now, Master Chandrakirti clarified Aryanagarjuna because he showed 8 ways in which Prasangika differs from all the other schools, even from Salchantika, the next lower Majjhimika school. There's 8 ways in which the highest middle way school is different from all the other schools, even the lower half of the middle way school. Okay? There's 8 like unbelievable ideas. And if you get these 8, like you know Majjhimika. You know, if you get those 8 ideas, you know them. Holy Lama Sopa asked Geshe Sopa in Wisconsin one summer a while back. Was it last summer or the summer before? But he said, just teach us the 8 from this text, Gombo Rabsa, right? And they spent, a month on it or something. Yeah, just to get the 8 ideas. You see what I mean? And that's a big deal in the monastery. Do you know these 8? Did you get the teaching? Did you get the lineage on these 8? You know what I mean? It's a big thing. Then you really know what distinguishes Prasangika from the rest. You know, so that's how entering the middle way enters the middle way. Anybody ever ask you, as far as emptiness, you know, how does it enter the middle way? As far as emptiness, you see, Master Chandrakirti finally clarified these 8 ways in which the highest Majjhimika differs from everybody else, even the other Majjhimikas. Okay, got it? That's the first half. Secondly, it was such a tendency for people to think that Aryanagarjuna was talking mind only, that Master Chandrakirti came up and said, look, it's not mind only. Okay? It wasn't mind. Mind only is good. Mind only is cool. But it's not the ultimate explanation. Okay? So, but then it takes a lot of work to weed the line, to separate Prasangika from mind only. Do you say that everything's a projection? Yeah. So you're mind only. I mean, that just that much is so easy to say, right? It's so easy to slip into that second statement, right? Is everything a projection of your mind? Yeah, so everything's mind only. The Buddha said so. Semtamtu. You know? Then it's so easy to slide off the edge there. You know, what's the difference between the way Prasangika says you project everything and the way mind only says you project everything? And if you can't distinguish that clearly in your mind, you'll get upset at the next nasty person you meet or at the next nasty cold you catch. You see? You'll get upset or you'll get unhappy or you'll be grumpy. Or, you see? If you can't distinguish between those two. I mean, what I'm saying is that these arguments are not some kind of like philosophical arguments or some dry, dusty thing. You got to use it the next morning when you meet that person, you know. He's a projection of my mind. Yeah, but there's more to it than that, you know. It's not just a nasty corner of my mind. Because that's okay. That helps a little bit. But, but now I can do something about it. And then, it connects to how I treat people. And then you get into Prasangika. You see what I mean? So then you pulled your bootstraps up from mind only to Prasangika. Oh, he's just a nasty corner of my mind. But that still is miserable, right? Yeah, but If he, but yeah, he's my projection in the sense that I must have been impolite to him. So now I'll be polite. I'll do what Jesus said. You know, someone smacks you on the face, give him the other half. It's so dumb. It's so profoundly dumb. You know, someone blows up your skyscraper, let them blow up your second one. You know, it's just like, it's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. It's as ridiculous. Someone punch you on this side of the face, ask him if he'd like to punch on this side of the face. It's crazy. It's bad policy, international policy, you know. No, it's bad, you know. But if you understand Prasangika, I'm projecting because I said something bad to someone before. I'll do this Jesus thing, you know. Treat them as your, you know, treat your enemy as your, what? I don't know. Friend, was it? I don't know, anyway. Was it, do you know the enemy? Anyway, love the enemy. That's it. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. You should punch your enemy, right? But if you understand Prasangika, the only thing to do to a person who's just said something bad to you is with great willpower, say something nice back to them. You know, with intense willpower and intelligence, which is the perfection of wisdom. That, in that crux of that split second, you are practicing the perfection of wisdom. Otherwise, you're just some blah, blah. You're just some translator. You know what I mean? In the crux of that moment, someone has said something to you, like, and then you do perfection of wisdom, you know. I will shut this person down. I will terminate this person. I like you. I saw you yesterday. You did such a good thing, you know. And they're like, is it because they will suddenly realize you're a nice person? No. Is it that they will suddenly become a nice person? No. Is it suddenly that their attitude will change toward you? No. But you're shutting the faucet off. You're like, hasta la vista, baby. You know, in 6 months, you're going to be talking nice to me, you know. Or you'll be out of Diamond Mountain, you know. You're like, they'll transfer you or something, you know. And you're just shutting this person down as you're looking at them. And they keep blah, blah to you, and you're just like turning the faucet, you know. Refuse to say a bad thing back. It's very Christian. It's very Prasangika. It's very powerful. That's perfection of wisdom. Okay. And that's what distinguishes. And that's not mind only. You see, that's the point of the second. You've got to get this firm conviction. Don't stop at mind only. It's not enough to say that this hole is a corner of my mind. It's not enough. You got to know what to do with it. You see what I mean? Okay, here we go. And that's entering the middle way, right? Where am I missing? Okay, good, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
To get the eight? Quite a ways. You got to hang in there. Am I going to skip to them early? No. Got to stay here. It's quite a ways in. It's quite a ways in. But it's all exciting. She'll probably swipe it earlier. We fight over who gets to present something first. This one actually ends here. But I think it's too much to bite off. So let's see if we can... That's one sentence. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to just... Okay, this is going to be nasty. Okay. Find an easier way. Yeah, we'll split it there. Just okay, you ready? You guys are doing really good, by the way. It sounds quite good, actually. this is a good way to do it. Father John was right. Okay, but anyway, here we go. Start with Brazil, okay? One, two, three. Tang Bo Yin De Chi Dar Su So Den Bei Dong Wei Dong Ni Te U Me Den Zhi Ne Jun Wa Yin Ki Sam Sam Ba Men Che Ki Den Zhi Ne Min Jun Wa. Heavy prenasal here. Why? The word before ends in an open vowel. There's no suffix letter there. It's an a, e, u, a, or oh, just hang in there, ready to get a n after it. Okay? So it's really heavy. Say min jung wei.
Min
jung wei. Okay. This is nasty.
Shalom, I think you're missing a two.
Where?
Form on a being.
Yeah. No, it's not. Everything.
Oh,
well, yeah, it's hard, okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes there's sentences that sound confusing in English because they're poorly translated. And sometimes they sound confusing in English because it takes a week to understand it. And it's correct. I mean, it's as correct as you could write it in English. And if a Tibetan saw that sentence in Tibetan and tried to read it, they would stop for 3 or 4 minutes to try to understand it. And this is that kind of sentence, so don't worry.
Can you put a comma after everything and after up? Would that help?
Here? Maybe. Nah. Maybe a here. Oh, sorry. Emptiness. That's a good idea. Maybe? Or do you want to... It might be better to do this. Is that better? Worse?
Yeah.
How many people think better? How many people think worse? Oh God, this is a problem. Sleep on it.
From form on up can be left out in the form of everything being empty. So from form on up could be set up by commas.
Yes. Or and then there's a comma in the form of everything on up, comma, being empty of any real existence. Mm-hmm. Emptiness, comma, in the form of everything on up, comma.
No, no, it's not that. The appositive is this whole thing between the two hyphens. No, it'd be deceptive because...
You can't put it between a subject and a verb, the dash.
Yeah, because everything between the two dashes is an appositive to the word emptiness. Yeah, yeah, the two forms is confusing. Oh, but it says it.
In the sense of
everything? In the sense of everything?
Yeah. That makes it easy. Oh, the words are great. Oh. In the sense of
everything. That's nice. You like that? That's better. Yeah, I like that. Okay, good. I like that. That's a nice improvement. Okay. Sorry, did I miss something? Oh, okay. By the way, just so you know, when they say form on up, it's gonna constantly say that, and you better know what it means. What's the most gross, obvious thing in the whole universe? Now, when I said the room the other, like about half an hour ago, I said how many stuff in the room was deceptive reality. To you, the room is 99% visual. Like, you weren't thinking about the smell of the room. You weren't thinking about the touch of the brick, unless your cat, with the earth. Now, but most people relate to the visual. They were thinking about the colors in the room and the shapes in the room. So suk form can either mean visual form or physical matter. It has two different rupa. It has two different meanings. But the basic thing is from stuff you can see and touch, ana. And what would be the last thing on the list? They go further. Omniscience. They always say sugne namkhyen gipadu. Everything from this microphone on up to the Buddha's omniscience, which covers how much stuff? Everything. So everything from form on up becomes a catchword in the monastery for everything. Yeah. It's just another way to say all things. So get used to it. Now, we could say all things, but it wouldn't be really, what would you say? Honest to the text, you see? It says from stuff you can touch and eat up... on up to the Buddha's omniscience. They're always saying that. Sukso. Say sukso. Okay? Stuff on up. Okay? All right? Get used to it. Okay, here we go. This is a really nasty sentence. I think. If you thought the last one was bad. I repaired this many years ago. These are suggested repairs. I edited this text for the monastery. And we're going to just accept that. Did we read this? No. Ready? We'll read it together. Let's speed up a little. 1, 2, 3. Te shin tu rang shin ki ma tu ba shir che be te tu kun shi rang Rig, Me, Ba, So, Ki, Ke, Ch, Nam, Rang, Gyu, Ba, Men, Che, Ki, Shun, Ne, Min, Jun, We, Tu, Mong, Ma, Yin, Be, Ke, Ch, Dem, Be, Go, Ne, Za, She, Gong, Ba, Del, Wa, La, Ju, Be, Che. Okay. Yeah. See, every single thing he says is an argument, okay? Like some people you know. Okay. This is really nasty. I gotta think about this thing. I think we could cut it. Let me see. You're gonna hate this. Okay. Right, I need to say something interesting. Yeah. Well, we have to go through this, obviously. And it's accurate, but it's touchy, okay? First of all, who believes in foundation consciousness? Yeah, who believes that when someone's being nasty to you, you're just watching a corner of your own mind? I mean, that's a big mind-only thing. Is it false? No, it's true in a way. It's just wrong because it's not necessary to say it's a corner of your mind. That's all. It's just the wording, really. It is you. It's a projection from you. Whether it's a corner of your own mind or... We can argue that. The basic idea is the same. But anyway, to say that there's this huge horseshoe between me and Anatole, and that's just my own mind. And I'm on one end of the horseshoe, and he's on the other end. And I'm just watching my toe. It's the story of the guy who was... There was a ghost watching him every night. Like the moon would come down to the window, and then he'd look down at the end of his bed, and there'd be these two beady eyes looking at him every night, and he kept getting scared. So one night he like brought a shotgun to bed, and when the moon came through the window, he saw his two eyes, and then he blew off his two toes, his big toes. You know what I mean? No, I didn't mean to be gross. The idea was that he's just seeing himself, you see? Under certain conditions, he's watching himself and getting scared from himself, you know? And that's all. That's his thing about foundation consciousness. And then the ability of the mind to know itself in a single moment. You know? Am I aware of myself in this moment, or am I a millisecond behind? Does it matter, etc.? Okay. Now, there's the next school up, which is the lower Madhyamika school. Do they believe in those two things? The ability of the mind to know itself in a moment. And what's the other one? Oh, foundation consciousness. They don't believe in them. But do they reject them on the basis that they don't have any nature of their own? They haven't gotten that far. Like, if you said, you know, is Anatole just the corner of your mind? They'd say, no, he's not just the corner of your mind. That's a mind-only belief. But are you saying that because you understand that Anatole doesn't have any nature of his own? It's that, no, we don't believe that. That's that Prasangika thing. They think nothing's real. They think nothing's true. We don't go that far. The Anatole works. You see, I mean, like that, okay? So he has to put that thing in parentheses in there, get it? For it to be distinguished from the other 3.5 schools, you have to say, it's wrong to say he's a corner of my mind. But you have to say that with the understanding that he's not real. And then the lower half of Madhyamika school would bail out at that point. Of course he's real. He works. You know what I mean? Okay? So you have to have that in parentheses. If you're distinguishing the highest school from the other 3.5 schools, you've got to say that whatever they say, everything on the basis of it not being real. Okay? Okay? Cook it. Okay? So really up here, he was talking about ideas not being in the mind-only school on, or wrong ideas being in the mind-only school on down. Here, he's talking about wrong ideas being in the lower Madhyamika on down. Okay? He's still only proving the first of these two, be careful. He's still only talking about the eight. He didn't get to this thing about the mind only yet. That was really confusing to me. We'll talk about it again next time. It's kind of late, okay? But we'll get there. Don't worry about it now. Jeffrey Hopkins did this when I was 20 years old in Dharamsala. This guy comes in with this beard, and he's like, chart this thing all over there. I've been there for 1 week, you know, and I was like, and I left, you know, I was like, no way. You know, so don't do that. It'll help. Okay.
Is he basically summarizing the 8 points now?
Not really. Nah. I used up like 43 of those things. Just wore through holes in them. Big, thick cowboy No, anyway. Hang on, I want to just go back and correct something. Where did he first mention those eight? We'll leave that. Okay. Okay, that's all. He's just summarizing. We'll do one more little piece. Hang on. Okay. No, he doesn't like to go then. By the way, I'll give you the text, Elilan. You post it, and then, you know, just keep in mind, okay, make yourself a note somewhere. When we go back to this paragraph, he says, how does Master Chandrakirti's commentary enter into the Aryanagarjuna's root text in two ways? What are they? No, careful. Go back further. Huh? Yeah. Emptiness teachings and Bodhisattva teachings. Okay? Now, how does it enter it through the emptiness teachings? Yeah. There are eight qualities. It shows eight qualities that the highest school has that the others don't. Which means the other 3.5 schools. Got it? And then he talks about why this presentation is different from school number 3's. Okay, get it? So this will be the first debate on Monday. Ready? Something like this. Entering the middle way doesn't enter the root text on wisdom. Entering the middle way does enter the root text on wisdom. No, it doesn't, because there's not any different ways that it enters the root text on wisdom. Oh, there are different ways in which entering the middle way enters the root text on wisdom. Oh, how many ways? Two. What are the two ways? From the profound side of the teachings, meaning the emptiness side of the teachings and the Bodhisattva side of the teachings. No, it doesn't enter it through the profound teachings and the far-reaching side of the teachings, because it doesn't reach it in different ways in the profound side of the teachings. Oh, it does enter it in different ways through the profound side of the teachings. How many?
Two.
What's the first? Yeah, it shows eight ways in which the highest school differs from how many others? 3.5. Good? Okay. That's the sexy one. I mean, that's the one that would, like, save our minds. Maybe. It would make us real prasangikas. And then what's the second way it enters it? Through the profound teachings. Yeah, it distinguishes this presentation from the third school only. When we're different from the mind only. Okay? Got it? Okay. Yeah.
It just seems a little curious that Dage would single out Manyoni school as the second way given that in the review of the history of how the masters interpreted the root text and wisdom, he didn't seem to make a big deal about the mind-only school.
No, he didn't. He didn't at all. He didn't even mention them.
Yes, in a way
Yeah, it's just a 3.5 schooler that went a little Mainoni. Yeah, yeah. But I'll say one thing. Think about this. This is the guts of this thing. Is the guy who bugs you your projection? Yeah. Is he a corner of your mind in a way? How can you understand that in a better way that will help you respond to him properly? Okay? And then, secondly, it's the whole Bokjimba deal. Functionality. The emptiness of functionality. That's where the 3.5 school slides somehow. That's the guts. That's the crucial thing. You know, nothing affects another thing. Every action we undertake is meaningless. Has nothing to do with the result we want. It's mind-boggling to think that every action I undertook in corporate life for 15 years, every decision I ever made, had nothing to do with our success. Nothing to do with the results of the company. It's mind-boggling. It's the petrol and the guy who fell through the glass door. You know, it's unbelievable. It's one thing to understand that the last guy who bugged you was part of your mind or your projection. I can deal with that. But the fact that nothing I do has any result that I intend. Everything I undertake to cause something to happen has nothing to do with it happens. Why do I go on like that? You know? Like here I am up here teaching it night after night. And I still get out there and use the key, you know? And somebody asked for a ride. I said, no, I gotta get home, you know? And then I think the key is gonna start the car. I believe that. You know, I'm going to squash so many bugs on the chip last night, you know, and I'm like, no, I got to take NyQuil to feel better, you know, and the NyQuil has no power to help me. It's could I maybe save a few bugs or could I maybe help some people but we can't do it. So that's not bad to say that I'm going to clarify Aryanagarjuna by talking about those two issues. That's a cool. If that's the way you're going to enter the middle way, I'm there. If you can talk me into behaving more, you know, understanding that the last person who yelled at me was my projection, that's really healthy for my mind. And then going one step further and believing that nothing I do makes anything happen. Period. Except how I treat other people. That's if you could get me to believe that, I might actually change, you know. You know, I think that's why he's those are his two ways of entering the middle way. From the profound side of the teachings, right? Okay? Okay, I like that. Good place to stop. Okay, cool. How many people made it into a discussion like this tonight? You know, you have some karma. You have some amazing karma. Yeah, you should be happy.